Well, good morning and happy Easter. He is risen. I've enjoyed the service. Thank you for everybody that's done everything. It's outstanding. We've got two things I want to share with you this morning, and we'll try and move through quickly because I know you've got family plans and things you want to get to. But Jesus, during his ministry, shared several times about the future of his own life and of his own mission. He said very clearly that he was going to go to the cross. He said that in his life, he said that if he was going to accomplish his purpose, it would involve death, but he always promised the resurrection. And in the paper that's being handed out right here that Zach's giving you right here, I've got some things written down on here. Mary Magdalene, in her wonderful skit this morning, shared what the angel said. I've got that written at the top of this page. I'll read it to you. The angel says, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified on the third day, and on the third day be raised again." The angel said, "Remember how he told you." And Jesus said throughout his time what was going to take place. The problem that the disciples had on this Resurrection Sunday is a problem that we have many times in our own lives, is Jesus has a plan, God has a plan, He's revealed it to us, but the distractions of life, our own thoughts, our own wills get in the way, and we forget what God has said. We forget the revelation, we forget the truth, we forget the freedom, the light that He's given to us in His Word, and we get distracted by the darkness of the world. And the very thing happened to these women and the disciples is when they were said, "Do you remember?" And they went from being in a condition of complete darkness and confusion, and in a moment of remembering the Word of God, everything made sense. I want you to understand it is that way in our lives also today. Jesus Christ is real. The Word of God is true. God is controlling history. He's directing history, and things are taking place in our world today. But if you are on this side of the understanding of the Word of God, in the sense that if you are in darkness, not this side of the auditorium here, but on this side, if you're in this side of darkness in the illustration that I'm using, nothing makes sense. It's all true. It's all happening just like God said, but you do not have the light in your own soul. Your own soul is dark. But when that Word of God hits your soul, when you begin to understand, you come into the light, and all of a sudden, just like on resurrection morning, in one moment they're thinking Jesus' body is stolen. They're thinking Jesus is dead. They're thinking life is hopeless. And with the recalling of some information that he'd been telling them for months, it's like, oh, he's alive. And all of a sudden, the whole world looks different. The decisions that they're going to make are going to be based on different information. Jesus had said on this first page of notes that you see right there, sometimes people don't realize this, but Jesus predicts his own death these times I've got written on here. About 6 months before the crucifixion, they're up north of Israel. He said, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Now that's 6 months before it happened. They traveled some more. He did some more teaching. They're about 5 months away from the crucifixion. He says in Matthew 17, when they came together in Galilee, he said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised alive." Okay. They continued on their way to Jerusalem. They come now to Jericho, and they're on their way into the city of Jerusalem for the final week. So we're about 2 weeks or so away from the actual crucifixion. As they're going, approaching Jericho on their final approach into Jerusalem, within 2 weeks of the crucifixion, now, as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside and said to them, meaning it wasn't just a comment he made as they're walking down the street. He took them aside. "Guys, come here. We're going to Jerusalem. I don't think any of you understand what's going to happen." "Oh, no, we know. We understand what's going on. We're clear." No, he says, "Come here. We are going up to Jerusalem." "Yeah, we know. And the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he'll be raised to life." So now they go into through Jericho, they go down to Bethany, they spend a couple days there, they go into Jerusalem a couple of times, they had the Palm Sunday, and now we're 2 days away from the crucifixion. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." That day comes, they celebrate the Passover, they have the Last Supper, and they're at the Last Supper. Now we're within 12 hours of the crucifixion. And Jesus, during that night, said to them, "The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. After I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." He says, we're just hours away from my crucifixion. But the thing you've got to focus on is that after I'm resurrected, I'm going to meet with you, and I'll go into Galilee ahead of you, and we'll meet there. All right? Everybody got this? No. The Word of God was there. The plan of God was in effect. But they were on this side of understanding. They had no idea what he was talking about. Although he knew, although it was clear it would take place just as he said. And then in Luke 24, verse 44, it was Easter Sunday. Later on in the afternoon, Jesus appears to them. They're still afraid. They're still confused. They're still wondering what's going on. Thomas hasn't been there yet. He says to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." There he says, it's over. We've done it. At the top of that page, there's another quote that Jesus said in Mark 13. He says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Now understand, Jesus came to accomplish salvation on the cross. He came to die and be raised again. But during his life on the earth, he said many other things. And if you'd look on that next page, I've just got a couple things written down there just to kind of touch base on them. Because I want you to understand that there is much out there in the Word of God, much that God is doing in the world, in our own lives, that if we don't understand what's taking place, we remain in a state of darkness. We remain in a state of confusion. And we think, well, we don't know, we're confused, we're in darkness, and it just life goes on. But Jesus has said many things. Things about you. And on this next page are some things that Jesus said that are true in his life. They're true today. Like he says, my words will never pass away. Your world, the kingdoms that each of us is building in our own lives, our own wills, everything that we're doing for ourselves will eventually pass away and be overcome with the will of God. God's word will never pass away. Jesus' words will never pass away. Here are a few things that he said about us, that he's done for us. If we don't understand this, you're still in darkness trying to figure out what's going on. You're living in a dark world, a world that has fallen in sin, and our own understanding is confused. If we could pass from that darkness into an understanding of what God has done, it would change so many things in our lives. Our circumstances wouldn't change, but our understanding would. Our power, our peace, our goals, our future, our hopes would change. In John 6:35, speaking of spiritual thirst and hunger, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." As far as being spiritually confused and lost and hungry, looking for answers, Jesus says, "I am it. You come to me, I'll solve all of that." Direction and clear thinking. He says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The ability, like I was talking about, to make clear decisions, to have direction. Supernatural power to fulfill purpose. "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within you." This is talking about the Spirit of God being within each believer. And God has called each of us to a purpose, a cause, something just like Jesus came to go to the cross to fulfill a purpose. Each of us has been called for something also. But you do not have to accomplish that on your own. The Word of God says Jesus promised, just like he promised he'd be raised on the third day, he promised that when you come into the light, when you come into salvation, he is going to equip you with a flow of spiritual power that will take you to the place of accomplishing what God wants in your life. You're not alone. You are a human being empowered by the Spirit of God. It was a promise of God. Next, service for the kingdom. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Jesus did tremendous things. He changed history. He did works that people are still amazed by. People still doubt that he did them. There are skeptics in the world, in our culture, that doubt that Jesus did what the Bible says he did because it's impossible. And it's unfathomable. But Jesus said, I know it's impressive, but you'll do things similar, just like I've... In fact, you'll do things that I haven't done because I'm going to go to the cross, I'll be resurrected, and I'll be seated at the right hand of God the Father. I'll send the Spirit into your life, and then you'll see. And then you'll see that you'll be doing things like Jesus did. Not because you're Jesus, but because Jesus is resurrected and he's living in your life. Now, if you're on this side of understanding and if you're in darkness, that is available. That is something God is calling you to do. But because you don't understand, that is not happening. Just like the disciples, they go to the tomb, they can't figure out where is he at. He's dead, he's stolen, where's his body? He told you he's going to come back to life. The same thing over here. You are saved. You're a Christian. You're a believer. The Spirit of God has come into your life. Now you have the ability to step out and change your world. Well, I don't know if I... No. Understand, Jesus said that you'll do these things because he will be with you. Next thing. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. My peace I give you. Now that peace is not world peace. That peace is not as the world gives. The peace that Jesus Christ offers you, if you're willing to accept it, is a peace on the inside and an internal peace. It's that peace that is not based on circumstances. For example, when I come home at night, late, and the house is clean, the kids are studying and quiet, practicing their musical instruments, my wife is home early, has got supper ready. I come in, hello kids, hello dear. Oh, let's all sit down and eat supper. I have peace in my home. That's external peace. Some of you may rarely have seen that. But if I come in the house and the kids are fighting, Tony's not home yet, we're trying to order pizza, no one's got their homework, they forgot their books at school, no one's got their instruments, we got bad report cards, it's like, we do not have peace in the home. That is a peace that is circumstantial. You can still have a peace that is given by Jesus in your heart that will not be taken away. A peace that is not based on your life. It's not based on your circumstances. You can have screaming kids. You can have no supper. You can have all kinds of things in your life, but you have something that Jesus has given you. It's a peace on the inside. Now let me tell you, it's going to be a lot easier to handle those situations in life if you've got peace on the inside. In fact, you're going to be able to take that peace that you have on the inside and manifest it into that chaotic situation and actually let others have some peace and realize the greatness of what Jesus Christ has done for you internally will be manifested on the outside. Jesus did not say he's going to bring world peace. In fact, Jesus said, I'll bring a sword. I'll divide houses. I'll divide families. The truth is a deciding point. You make a decision. Do you believe in Jesus Christ or not? It's either yes or it's no. And that's a sword. That's going to cause division. But for those that believe in Jesus Christ, he is going to put something on the inside that when you begin to walk in that, when you begin to understand that, and you go from a darkness of one not understanding who Jesus is and what he's done for you, and you walk in the light, you begin to realize, my problems are solved. There is a God in heaven who cares about me. There is a God in heaven who has a plan for me. And my future, no matter how bad it looks today, my future is bright because Jesus Christ came out of the grave. And if he came out of the grave, well, then that's probably the biggest problem I'm going to face is death, and things are going to get better. If you have that peace on the inside, the outside circumstances cannot penetrate in and cause confusion. If you will understand that. John 16:33, Jesus said, here's a promise. In this world you will have trouble. Oh, great, thanks. Yeah, he said, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You will have trouble in the world, but in the midst of that trouble, Jesus Christ is offering you victory. Not saying all your troubles will go away, but again, in the midst of the troubles in the world, you are going to be able to stand strong. You're going to be able to have a victory and have a confidence. And like Jesus says, I've overcome it. It is no longer the barrier that's holding you down. The pressures of the world, the trouble of the world is nothing that can hold you down because Jesus Christ came out of the grave and has supplied you with everything you need. He says in John 5:24, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. That's a big one. Ever walked in guilt, wondering what God thinks of you, wondering what God is going to do on that judgment day you stand before God? Here it is. You believe in Jesus Christ, the guarantee, you will not be condemned. But, well, I don't know if that's true or not. Wait. This is the same guy who told his disciples over and over and over again, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'll be crucified on the third day, I'm coming back. In fact, I'll meet you in Galilee right after that. I'll say about 3 o'clock. I mean, he knew what he was going to do. And here he says, if you believe in me, there is no condemnation. Why did he go to the cross? He went to the cross to pay for your sin. It wasn't an object lesson. It wasn't just something that he got said something wrong one day and they caught him. He went to the cross on purpose to die for our sins. If he has died for our sins and God's judgment has already been poured out, and that's what happened, the judgment of God was poured out on Jesus Christ to pay for your sins. Now that means if you believe in that, you've crossed over here into light and you realize there's no condemnation. Jesus died not for his sins, he died for our sins. Spiritual life now, I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of God, voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Now that is a day in the future in a sense, but also he says even now as I'm speaking today, I'm making noise with my voice, I'm making sound. But we're communicating the Word of God. We're reading quotes of Jesus Christ. Quotes that he says will never pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but what he said will not pass away. Meaning, these are spiritually empowered words, the Word of God. And as I'm sharing this with you, you may hear me talking, but some of you may hear God talking to you also. You may hear the Son of God calling you today. Not in an audible voice, but in your heart. He's calling you. He was calling them 2,000 years ago. He's called people throughout history. He's calling them today. He says the time has now come when the dead, and that means the spiritually dead, that means those living in darkness, they will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. If you hear God talking today, if you hear the Spirit calling you today, you need to respond and say, yes, Lord, I believe in Jesus Christ's resurrection. I believe in the power that he demonstrated. I believe in his words. It's not a fable. Listen, if this was a fable, if this was a story, if this was something that was just made up to make people feel better, it would have died a long time ago. You cannot keep this kind of a legend going for 2,000 years unless there is some kind of power taking place. Indeed, the disciples' lives were changed. When Jesus came out of the grave, they changed. It's like, well, maybe they faked the resurrection. You're kidding me. They didn't even believe in the resurrection, let alone fake it. They went to the grave thinking he was going to be there. They didn't go to the grave to steal his body. They went to look. It's like, where's he at? The angel said, he's alive. He told you. Alive? What? We don't understand. They didn't steal it, and after that truth, they were in darkness. And once they understood that, their lives were changed. But stop. That was 2,000 years ago. Those people have lived and died, and that fable should have passed away. But the thing is, the power that changed them then changed disciples of theirs. And then in the next generation, and now 2,000 years down the road, many of you are hearing the voice of the Son of God. You're hearing the Spirit of God in your own lives today because it's real. There is a God in heaven who sent his Son to die on the cross, who then ascended to heaven and sent his Spirit to speak to you and call you. And it's happening today, and there are people today whose lives have been changed 180 degrees. There are people whose lives have gone from darkness into spiritual light, and they've changed. And you can tell them, well, we don't believe that's true. Oh, I know why you don't believe that's true, because you're still in darkness. You still have not heard and understood the Word, because I am in the light. It makes complete sense to me. I've experienced the power. Now, you can stay in the darkness and doubt it, so I don't think that's really true. That's fine. But that does not change the fact that the Word of God is true anymore. When the disciples were in darkness before they realized Jesus came out of the grave, they did not believe Jesus came out of the grave. You can believe whatever you want to, but He's still resurrected. Now it's a matter of you are going to accept that and have that change your life or not. The next thing we've got written down here real quickly, He says, reward for service. In Revelation, He says, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done." Not only did Jesus Christ say He was going to come out of the grave on the third day, He also says, "I am coming back." Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. He's coming back to this planet. He's coming back to judge all men. Judge believers, judge unbelievers. He will look into the heart of every man. He is a man Himself. He is God. He is the incarnate Christ. But He will judge each man, He says, when I come back, and I will reward them for what they have done. Now, those things are as much of a guarantee as Jesus coming out of the grave. If Jesus Christ came out of the grave, then Jesus Christ is coming back. And if Jesus Christ is coming back, there's a day that you will be held accountable before Jesus Christ Himself. He is God, and He's going to call each one of us to bring account of who we are in our lives. And that leads us to our next point, and which will be our final point here today, is the power of resurrection in your life. The power of the resurrection. Jesus Christ said this on that third page there. It says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Glorified. He says, "It's time for me to be glorified." Wow, what's going to happen? Something great's going to, some sparkly thing's going to happen to Him? No, He's going to go to the cross. Because you can't get glorified until you go to the cross. You can't receive the reward until you've done the service. You can't be raised to life until you've died. Do you understand that? I've got some things right at the top of that page. The resurrection can only occur after death. Some of our greatest victories will come only after our greatest defeats. And the greatest display of God's power comes after we have laid down our wills and accepted His will. If you are in darkness and you hear the Word of God and you accept Jesus Christ, you are placed in the light. The Spirit of God comes into you. He begins to reveal to you the plan of God. Your life now, it may not change on the outside, but what is inside of you, where the kingdom of God is at today, has changed. The kingdom of God is not out here today. The kingdom of God is right inside of you. And when that Spirit of God comes in you and the kingdom of God begins to grow in your life, your world has changed. But what's going to happen here is Jesus Christ is going to call you. He's not just going to give you nice little things and give you peace and make you happy and you just kind of walk around like you're on clouds playing harps or something. He's going to save you, but He's going to call you for a purpose. He's going to call you just like He was called by God the Father. It says, goes on here. He says, "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Now, He could be talking about Himself, and He is. If Jesus Christ remains alive without going to the cross, He's happy, He's eternal, He's sinless, but the rest of us have still got a problem. If He's willing to die like a seed is dropped in the ground, and that seed doesn't grow back up onto a plant, there it is again, that seed becomes a plant, and it produces many more seeds. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, He was a seed that died. And when He was resurrected, it had blossomed into many seeds, which are us. So He's talking about Himself. But He goes on. He says, "But the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." Just like Jesus Christ was honored by God when He raised Him from the dead on the third day. He honored Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ went to the cross and did what was required. Did what God had asked Him to do. He could have walked away from the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, He's praying, "Father, take this cup from me." He says, "But if it's your will, I'll do it." He was struggling with the fact that I've got to do what God's called Him to do. He was dealing with it. He accepted God's will, went to the cross, and God glorified Him. God honored Him. God raised Him from the dead. Now, it's your turn. Do you want to experience the resurrection in your life? Do you want to experience this same kind of power? There's one very simple key. It is not you going to a cross, a physical cross like Jesus went to. Could be. I doubt it, but it could be. But look at what he says here in Matthew 16, verse 24 through 28. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, if you want to live like Jesus, if you want to experience the power that Jesus had in his life, the resurrection, the things that he accomplished for God, then this is one of the keys. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That would mean this. Deny himself means lay down your will. Who you want to be, who you think you want, all these things about yourself, these preconceived plans, lay them down. Go to God. What does God want with my life? He created you. You didn't create yourself. You don't have the right to make your own plans. We're responsible for our lives, but we should go to God. It says right here, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Again, that's not a literal cross. We're not supposed to go take all sorts of die on crosses. But just like Jesus came to go to the cross, that was his will, there's something God's called us to do. There's something that we want to do, but then there's something that God says, this is what I've called you to. Yeah, but I kind of like to do this. But I've called you to this. Deny your own will. Deny those things that you think you want and ask God, what have you called me to do? What is it you want out of my life? He says, because if you'll do that, it says, let me read this. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses life for me will find it. If you say, no, I want to hold on to my goals, my plans, who I am, I don't want to change. Then what you think you're going to get, you're not. This is a dead-end road. This is an empty road. You will never become what you think you want to become. Or if you do finally become what you want to become, when you get there, it's not what you thought. There's no glory. There's no honor. It's just you just accomplished your will. But it's empty. It's vanity. It doesn't fit in the plan of God. If you'll deny that and do what God has called you to, what is it that God wants you for? He says, you will find your life. He says, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? What good will it be if you gain the whole world, but you forfeit your very purpose? The very reason God created you has been forfeited to accomplish your own little goal here. He says, you won the whole world, but you never did what I created you for. What an empty life. Or what can a man give in exchange for a soul? He says, for the Son of Man, that's the same man, Son of Man who came out of the grave, the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory. You say, well, I wish I could have saw the resurrection. Well, you didn't. You missed it. You weren't born yet. But you are going to see this. Every one of you will see this. Now, how would you like to be on the other side of the resurrection? And Jesus saying, on the third day, I'm going to come back to life. On the third day, I'm going to be raised to life. On the third day, I'll meet you in Galilee. And then it happens, and you missed it because you weren't paying attention. And then it happens like, oh, I was confused. Well, let me give you a heads up. Jesus Christ is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels. I'm telling you that now. Just like Jesus said, I tell you so you will believe and so you won't miss it. There's a day coming that you will see. Sometime in the future. I don't know when it's going to be. But Jesus Christ, as surely as he came the first time, as surely as he died, and as surely as he came out of the grave, is coming back. And when he comes back, he will be in his Father's glory with all of the angels. And he's going to find you. And he's going to see what you did. Oh, I see. You built your own little kingdom. Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to destroy that now because anything in the world, I'm destroying. Or did you do what he called you to do? Watch. He says, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels. And then he, the Son of Man, will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth. Now, this is a sad verse. As Jesus was talking to a crowd of people that day in his ministry, he says, you need to find out what God wants you to do. He said, I'm going to the cross. I know my purpose. Now, you need to find your cross, what God has called you to do. I can't tell you that same person that calls you out of darkness into light is going to lead you and give you the plans for what he wants you to do, the attitudes he wants you to have in life, the accomplishments, the way you work, the way you live, the way you talk. These are the things he wants you to do. If you'll follow those, He says, I'll reward each person according to what he has done. But he said to that crowd that day, I tell you the truth, some who are standing here today will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. What he was saying there was not that some people are going to live until Jesus Christ returned. What he was saying, there are some of you today that are hearing these words, but you refuse to taste death. You refuse to lay down your will. You refuse to lay down who you are and who you want to be. You are the king of your life. You are the God of your soul. And God is calling you into light. Here's the light. Here's the plan. You'll never walk in darkness. You'll always have peace. You will accomplish things that have eternal value and will reward in eternal rewards in the kingdom. This is what I'm promising you. But you will say in your own confusion, no, I got my own plan. I'm going this way. You'll never be willing to die. Jesus died on the cross and fulfilled God's purpose. Here, he's asking us if we will die. Now, understand this. There is no resurrection in your own plan. There is no resurrection. You continue to grind things out. You just work harder and harder and you get more confused and make life more complicated. But when you lay that down, you will find in your life that resurrection over here into God's plan. You will find a resurrection. There's got to be a death before there's a resurrection. You've got to give something up in order to receive something. And I'm telling you today two things. One, the Word of God is true. Jesus said He was coming out of the grave. He said many other things. They're all as true as the promise of coming out of the grave. But the thing I want you to consider is, first, have you accepted Jesus Christ? Do you believe that He died on the cross for your sins? Do you think it's a legend? Do you think it's a fable? Or do you think it was God working in history, accomplishing His plan of salvation for all of time? If you believe that, you'll pass from darkness into light. There is now no condemnation for you. You are a child of God. The Spirit of God lives in you to empower you, to enlighten you, to lead you, to speak to you. But as He's speaking, He's now going to say, okay, now it's your turn. I want you to lay down your life just like Jesus had to lay down His life. Jesus took His will, laid it down, and says, Father, I'll do what You want. And the result of that, yes, it was His death, but it was also His resurrection and glorification. Today, God is calling you for salvation, but He's also calling you to lay down your plans, lay down your life, and come to Him and say, and what is it you want me to do? Because when you lay down your life like Jesus did, that same power of resurrection will take you to a new life, a new level that you cannot even imagine. You are able to do things that you can't humanly explain because Jesus Christ has resurrected you into His will. That's where you want to spend your Christian life. You don't want to spend your Christian life fighting with God, resisting the Spirit. You want to spend it in that flow where the Spirit of God is flowing and taking you to the place of great accomplishments and great peace, and where you are changing people's lives, where you're helping our society, where you're helping people that have needs and burdens, that you're providing the answers. If it's in word or deed or whatever you can do that God's called you to. We want to see the resurrection in each of your lives so we can bring that to the world and change a dying and hurting world with the same message and the same resurrection power. Please bow your heads. Father, we come to You today in the name of Jesus. We do thank You for this. I ask that each heart might hear You speak, if it's a call to salvation or if it's a call to lay down their lives and experience the resurrection in their own lives. Father, we want to commit ourselves to You. We want to commit this church to You. We do thank You that Jesus Christ rose from the grave, that we have eternal life, but Father, we also rejoice that resurrection power is available to us as individuals, as families, as churches. Again, Father, I ask that each person might hear this, that our hearts might be softened by Your Spirit, that we may walk in that victory that You've promised us. Again, thank You so much for the resurrection, and thank You for the salvation that we find in Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.